I was married from home, and I'll die in
America. Welcome to our
And this ought to show it right here.
Do you or someone you know suffer from depression? If so, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Defender 7 medical broadcast, which is rescheduled from last night with your host, our Colonel Kimberly Purvis. I'm your co-host and general of the Defender 7, Bobby Ormsby. Welcome. Before we get on with our show, there's a disclaimer I need to read. The views and opinions expressed on Defender 7 radio show and Facebook pages are those of the callers and or authors and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the Defenders 7. Now, those of you new just tuning into us, we also have a website. If you type in all lowercase letters, www.defenders, Roman numeral V as in Victor, with two small I's, .com. And on our site, you'll find that we have a store and a donate button. 100% of all proceeds from sales from our store and any money that we bring in from donations go back to our communities throughout all 50 states in a time of need. So please, by all means, purchase something or click on that donate button. Help us to help you in the time of need. You can also be reached on our national Facebook page by typing in all capital letters in the search box, Defenders 7. That's Defenders, Roman numeral V as in Victor, with two large I's. Now, before you click on that join button, just know that we expect all of our members and our future members to participate throughout all we do here in the Defender 7. You get in and feel it's not for you, you can always leave. No hard feelings. We also have a YouTube channel. So by all means, please check us out there. Hit that subscribe button. We're on MeWe. If you click on organizations, scroll all the way down to Defenders 7 Humanitarian American Patriot Group. Now, for tonight's show and all the shows we do here on Blog Talk Radio, we enjoy it when you call in with your opinions and your thoughts, or even just to say hello or tell us how good we're doing. And that number to call, area code 914-205-5773. Again, that number to call to participate or even just listen, area code 914-205-5773. And I'm now going to bring in our colonel, your host, Kimberly Purvis. Good evening, Kimberly.
Good evening.
How are you? I'm doing good.
Oh,
how are you feeling?
so far so good today. I'm not gonna. I slept last night. Of course, I drugged myself with sleeping medicine. But the melatonin works, so it's like okay, fine, whatever. I didn't have to take any of the pain medicine, so I'm trying to hold off and keep it for emergency. Because there's no need in me taking it around the clock if I'm not hurting. So.
Right.
But I'm waiting for them. I gotta go see a civilian doctor because they don't have appointments till October. Oh, well. So before we get started, I was just going to go over some real quick. You know, in Florida, they switched over to a recovery now, and they found 54 people and all of that rubble. So, trying to look for any other real quick. Oh, yeah, China's military is preparing for war.
Yeah, so, I saw that.
Well, we're worried about recruits having two freaking gay parents and being there for them. Who the fuck cares? I'm sorry. And forcing gay pride and shit instead of doing what military is supposed to do. I'm sorry, look, if you're gay, you're gay. I really don't care. That's your life. You deal with it. But in the military, it's supposed to be you train and practice and do your job, not worry about if everybody accepts you. Because I really couldn't give two craps. I really don't care. It's your life. You do with what you want. But don't push your shit on me. But, yeah, so while China prepares to go to war, we're worrying about forgive people's feelings. let's see. A container ship exploded in Dubai. So let's see. It's all the same, same old, blah blah blah. Besides, Trump is suing all the big tech right now. He's in the process of getting of suing all of them. Oh. A GOP congressman was caught on video, saying he wants 18 more months of chaos to stall Democrats so Republicans can take Congress. Basically what Chip Roy said, he wants to block Democrats so Republicans can take Congress. And next year. He's throwing a Hail Mary. Doing all kinds of crap just to block the Democrats. So it's not going to take much, honestly, because I think America is sick and tired of the Democrats' bullshit.
You're echoing. So am I.
Hold on. Let me call back. Hate the echo. It drives me insane.
I think you're the one echoing there, Lorna.
I am not.
Okay.
See?
Hey, no.
Told
you.
I think it's all in your head, Lorna.
No, actually, I was echoing. I could hear it. Let's see. Who cares? Who cares? Employee was shot dead because he stumbled upon a crime in progress, and whatever it was, they shot and killed him. Okay. All right, that's enough shit. All right, so I decided to go ahead and do urinary tract or the urinary system and all that cool stuff. Why? Because I got kidney stones, damn it. So I figured I'd look into it and educate you guys on some kidneys and your bladder and stuff. So everybody knows that the urinary tract system is you get two kidneys, one on each side of your body. They're usually set towards the back, and then they have two ureters or tubes, and then they go into your bladder and then the external ureter so you can go to the bathroom. Now, on top of your kidneys, there's also the adrenal glands, and they work hand in hand together. The thing about your adrenal glands is that helps control your blood pressure, and so that's why a lot of patients who have kidney issues have high blood pressure. So it's important to keep both of those on track. So, oh, I'm going to order. Okay, so your kidneys, like I said, they actually do look like kidney beans because I guess that's, I don't know, but they look exactly like kidney beans pretty much. They're about half the size of your fist, and they're located just below your rib cage. And pretty much every day, your kidney will filter out between 120 to 150 quarts of blood a day. And then it also will remove waste and help balance fluids in your body. For people that have renal diseases and things like that have to go to dialysis, the reason why they have to be unlimited fluid intake is because they can't put the fluid out. And so people on dialysis can lose pounds of waste and water a day whenever their blood gets cleaned out every day. And you produce about 1 to 2 quarts of urine a day. I guess it also depends on how much fluid you take in every day. Right now, it depends on your doctor and if you have any health conditions. Most people need about a gallon of water a day. And supposedly, every 10 pounds or so of your overweight, you're supposed to have another 8-ounce glass of water. But like I said, that it tends to go by whatever your doctor wants. So your bladder is a hollow muscular balloon. And it's what it looks like. It's a little balloon and fills with urine. And that's why you have that urge to pee, because it can only stretch so far. And it sits in your pelvis between your hip bones. A normal bladder will act like a reservoir. And it can hold up to 2 cups of urine at a time. Wow, that doesn't seem like a whole lot. When you think about it, that's not a whole lot of urine. So you can't control how your kidneys function, but you can control when to empty your bladder. And so here's the thing about a lot of medical professionals. We don't get to go to the bathroom a whole lot. It's not really good to hold your urine. If you could go to the bathroom, go to the bathroom. It's not really good to keep the urine in your bladder. So when you got to go, you might as well go. And then, of course, the urethra.
Another thing about that, too, is
when I was in that car accident that I was in, they told me that if my bladder would have been full, I would have been dead.
Why?
I think because the way my pelvic broke, and it would have been full. And urine inside your body is toxic.
Well, okay, here's the thing about urine. Normally, urine is sterile until it exits the body, and then all the microbes or whatever will start to grow in it. But, yeah, urine is sterile unless you've got a UTI or a bladder infection or kidney infection. Then it's not. But, yeah, I mean, because if your bladder would have ruptured, I could see that, though. All the urine would have went in your abdominal cavity. And, yes, it can become septic. And then you get all that.
And I laid in the ditch for, from what I was told, a minimum of 3 hours. And then it's an hour and a half to the cities to the hospital. So,
damn.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a long time.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't wake up until they unloaded me, and that was a very bad feeling. I thought I was falling.
Oh, yeah. That's not cool when they load you up. So on your urinary tract, two sets of muscles, and they're called sphincters. One's up at the top and one's at the bottom. The same thing with your rectum. Same thing. You get a sphincter there. You actually get two of them inside your rectum. And so your internal sphincter muscles of the bladder neck and the urethra stay closed until your brain says, go pee. And the external ones around the internal, that provides extra pressure to keep the urethra closed. So basically it's like an inside door and an outside door. And the outside door, it kind of protects. So, and you can consciously squeeze the external sphincter and the pelvic floor muscle. That's why you do the potty dance and you close really tight and you squeeze tight. That's your pelvic floor muscles. The other thing is, I don't know about you guys, if this ever happened to you, if you're sleeping and you don't get up to go to the bathroom when your brain says, hey, stupid, go to the bathroom, do you know sometimes that will trigger your brain to tell you that you're going to the bathroom? And so you'll be in a bathroom going to the bathroom. That's your brain telling you, hey, dumbass, get up and go to the bathroom, or you will go to the bathroom. Unfortunately, it's happened to me, and I'm like, oh, crap, and I got up and ran to the bathroom because I wasn't sure if I was sitting on the toilet or not. But that's what your brain does if you don't, if you're in a deep sleep.
Or really drunk.
In order for you, no, medication. Well, yeah, you can do that if you're really drunk, yeah. So in order to urinate, your brain will say, huh?
My nephew got really drunk, and he got up to go to the bathroom, and he peed on his girlfriend.
See, that's what I'm talking about. A lot of times when people are intoxicated, they will urinate on themselves because they have no clue.
Well, he got up, and he literally peed on her. He thought that was the bathroom.
Oh, okay. Well, that happens, too. A lot of times it happens to kids. They'll be dreaming, and they'll pee in wherever because they don't know. So your brain will tell the sphincter to relax so you could go to the bathroom. And it also signals the muscular bladder wall to tighten. So it's just like squeezing an orange. Just picture an orange or grapefruit, whatever. Squeeze it, everything comes up. Same thing with your bladder. And so how often you need to urinate will depend on how quickly your kidneys produce the urine that fills up the bladder and how much your bladder can comfortably hold. Now, here's the other thing. Guys, this is the reason why you need to have your prostate checked, because on men, the prostate is like a little donut, and it sits around your urethra. Inflamed, it's really tight. And that's why guys have a problem with frequent urination, because they think they got to go, and all of that kind of, and that's a whole dribble little thing, you know. And also for anyone who's got a UTI, it hurts to go to the bathroom. Also, if it's irritated, if you have an infection, that it burns. And you don't want to go to the bathroom. So some kind of subconsciously, you could stop. You could stop your body from going. So the muscles of your bladder will remain relaxed while the bladder's being, and then the sphincter muscles remain contracted. So while one's contracted, the other one's relaxed. Then in order for you to go, it contracts, and the sphincters will let loose. So your urinary tract's important because it filters waste and extra fluid from the bloodstream, and it removes it from the body. A lot of people with congestive heart failure have swollen legs, and that's why we wrap them, or they wear the TED hose and those really nice tight-fitting sock things, and you wear it all the way up to the knees, and that helps push the fluid out in order for your kidneys to pump it out of the body. So the amount of urine you produce depends on many factors, such as how much liquid and how much food you consume and the amount of fluid you lose through sweating and breathing. So, and certain medications, medical conditions, and types of food can also affect the amount of urine you produce. I find this to be a lie. I think it is. Children produce less urine than adults. I don't know. Have you seen a toddler pee? Them children will pee and pee and pee and pee until the cows come home. But, hey, I guess it's because they have a smaller body. So, you know. So, basically, how to keep your urinary tract healthy. Drink enough fluid, especially water. If you're healthy, try to drink at least 6 to 8 ounce glasses of water each day. You may need to drink more if you have kidney stones, or bladder stones. And at least half of your fluid intake should be water. I constantly argue with my doctor that coffee is water. Without water, you cannot make coffee. Same thing with tea. It's made of water. And they still want to argue that fact, but caffeine dehydrates you, which also can lead to kidney stones or bladder stones. So that's why they tell you to cut back. That's why I'm trying not to have any coffee right now, and I'm absolutely miserable without the caffeine. And because I'm trying to make sure I get enough fluid and water in me a day. I'll go, like, we have a QT, the same thing as Pilot, Love's, all these gas stations. And we have those big, was it 32-ounce cups? I'll save some of those, and I'll just make sure I fill them up. And I'll drink at least 3 of those a day, depending on what kind of mood I'm in. Hold on a second. At least half of your fluid intake should be water. You might need to drink less water if you have certain, if you have kidney failure or heart disease. Like I said, so people like that are on fluid restrictions. Now, don't get me wrong. How many of you like soup? You guys like soup?
Yep.
I
can hardly hear you.
Huh?
I can hardly hear you now.
Oh, I'm not saying anything until Stupid stops barking. Because he's obnoxious. It was a dog. A guy was walking his dog. That's all. This is why I'm getting a bark. I keep saying I'm going to get a bark collar, but I'm going to. His barking is high pitch and obnoxious. Anywho, soup is also counted as fluid intake. I mean, it all depends on how much broth there's in it. Now, stuff like, you know, your creamy soups, that's different. But like chicken noodle soup and all those. So if you're in a fluid restriction, you can eat the stuff that's in it. Just try not to have the broth. Because like congestive heart failure would be a major one. Also, if you're on dialysis, that you'll most likely end up being on fluid restriction. Also, keep your bowels regular. Regular bowel movements are important to your bladder health. So you could promote both bowel and bladder health by making healthy food choices. Also, if you're, and this is something that I did not know, before I had my hysterectomy, my uterus was inflamed all the time because of all the issues that I had with it. So it, therefore, caused me to have bladder problems. It fused, my bladder and my uterus had fused together. So I had, if I sneeze, I'm peeing at the drop of a hat. I bend over, I cough, anything. The same thing goes with your bowels. If you have IBS, IBD, and all those wonderful bowel problems, inflammation will affect the areas that's closest to it. So when I had my hysterectomy, I had to have one of those scopes done where my doctor filled my bladder up with saline because he had to separate the two of them. So he had to make sure he didn't nick my bladder and cause all kinds of trouble that way, which was no fun. So you could keep your urinary tract healthy by sticking to an eating plan that includes lean proteins, whole grains, fiber or fiber-rich bread, nuts, berries, fruit, and vegetables, and all of that can help promote regularity. Also, living a healthy lifestyle. Get regular physical activity. So if you're walking a lot at work, if you go for walks, you go to the gym, things like that. And I know you guys don't want to hear this. Limit your alcohol intake. And cut down on caffeinated foods and drinks, and don't smoke. So there goes your diet, Bobby. No more smoking, drinking, or any of that crap.
You funny.
I know. Now, there is also like a lot of heart patients will end up on Lasix, and that's a water pill. There's different types of water pills. There's over-the-counter water pills. They don't work as well. So if you know you're retaining water, a lot of women do every month. That's like what's in Midol and all that stuff that helps get rid of the excess fluid and the bloating and all that cool crap. Like I said, go whenever you need to go. People will hold it. It's not a good time to go to the bathroom. But it can weaken your bladder muscles and make it harder for your bladder to empty completely. So, have you noticed, you know the expression, you're going to piss like a racehorse? And you go to the bathroom, garden hose, and it's like full force coming out. And then other times, you just sit there, and it just like flows out, you know? That's because that's part of the reason why of holding your bladder too long, and it loses the ability to completely empty it. And then you'll go to the bathroom, you'll get up and you'll go sit down, and then you're like, oh man, I got to go pee again. And it's only a couple drops. And that's what they're talking about. So make time to go to the bathroom. So unless you want to wear adult depends or, you know, a catheter, you know, and you can also develop UTIs, which are painful and they're not very pleasant. Develop healthy bathroom habits. Take enough time to fully empty your bladder when you urinate. Don't rush it. Urinate after sex because it helps flush away bacteria that might have got there during sex. And so make sure you just clean. And for women, we know, wipe from front to back and to keep the bacteria from getting up into the urethra, which can wreak havoc. Stay in tune with your body. Pay attention to how often you feel the urge to urinate. Take note if you need to urinate more often than usual. If your urine leaks or if it becomes more difficult for you to begin to urinate, or if you feel you're not able to completely empty your bladder, these changes may be signs of a different urinary tract problems. I had the unfortunateness, yeah, if that's a word, of having a bladder test done. And they stick this camera up into your bladder, and it's got different things, and the doctor will pull on it, on the little fibers that's in the tube, because I had a leaky bladder. But it all stemmed down to my uterus. So like I said, it didn't matter. If I sneeze, I cough, whatever, and I'm going. So you could also do pelvic floor muscle exercises, which are called Kegel exercises. And you just hold, release. And you could do it whenever during the day, while you're working, sitting around watching TV. It doesn't matter. They also have clinical trials for some of these medications. That's up to you. If you have issues with going to the bathroom, or if you just like to be a guinea pig, hey. But just check into whatever it is that you're going to be doing. You know. So I'm going to start with kidney stones, one of the biggest problems, like I said. So kidney stones are also called renal calculi or nephrolithiasis or erythrolithiasis. That's kidney stone or bladder stone. They're hard deposits made of minerals and salts that form inside your kidneys. Diet and exercise, your healthy body weight, and some medical conditions and some supplements and medications are the biggest cause of kidney stones. Topamax causes kidney stones. Well, the higher the dose you are, you run the risk of it. Often stones from within the urine become concentrated, allowing the minerals to crystallize and stick together. So passing a kidney stone can be very quite painful. Yes, it is. I've already passed three, and I've got another one. They're not smooth like marbles. They're jagged, and it looks, believe it or not, sometimes it can look like a COVID vaccine, you know, the little spikes on it, the spike proteins. That's pretty much what a kidney stone looks like, little jagged spikes on it, and that's why it hurts, because it's cutting into your kidney, into the muscle. And then if you manage to pass it into the ureters before it gets to the bladder, it's going to cut into that as well. Your body can only pass a 1 millimeter to a 5 millimeter stone. I have a 6. They actually go all the way up to 14 and 15 millimeters. And in those cases, if you do not get treatment for the bigger stones, you could cause kidney damage down the line. And that's not good. And they do what's called lithotripsy. And it's just like an ultrasound that you get. You know, if you ever had an ultrasound, it's a little wave, electronic, you know, and it breaks up the kidney stone. Ooh, my ears. So yeah, the lithotripsy can only be done by a urologist. That's their specialty. And then they can also do a scope, a cystoscopy, which they stick a tube up your urethra all the way to the bladder, up into the kidney, and they can remove them that way. So they say it could take what was it, up to 14 days to pass a 3 millimeter. I've got a 6, and it's been a month. That ain't going nowhere. So which is why they've got to do, and that's why they want you to hydrate as much as possible, because and to relax. They give you Azo. It's over the counter, sold at Walmart, any pharmacy, or Peridium, and that will help relax the tubes to pass the stone. And not to mention, it makes your urine anywhere from a bright orange to a bright red. So don't panic if you ever have to be put on that. So depending on your situation, you may need nothing more than to take Tylenol or drink a lot of water or whatever. So they can get lodged in the urinary tract or in the kidney itself. And let me tell you something. I'd rather give birth than pass a kidney stone. Because, yeah, it's that painful. Well, at least the 6 is. I break out to a cold sweat, almost want to vomit. I'm shaking. It hurts so bad. And the only way they could do it was to give me high amounts of Dilaudid. And it took over an hour for that to take effect. So passing kidney stones are very painful. Your doctor may recommend a preventative treatment to reduce your risk of recurrent kidney stones. But always just drink a lot of water as much as you can. So a kidney stone usually will not cause symptoms until it moves around within the kidney or if it gets into the ureters, and which is the tubes that connect your kidney to your bladder. So if it becomes lodged in those tubes, it can block the flow of urine into the into your kidney, and then it'll swell. And that might be what's wrong with mine. I might have my stone in the tube then, because it'll cause to have spasms, and it's very painful. Severe sharp pain in the side and back below your ribs. You could also have the pain. It'll radiate into your groin or your lower abdomen, or burning pain when you urinate. So, and some of these signs you may or may not be able to see. Pink, red, or brown urine. My urine was clear, but under a microscope, I had traces of blood. So you may not even know it's there. A cloudy or foul-smelling urine, which is a definite sign of an infection. A persistent need to urinate. Like I said, urinating more often or in smaller amounts. Nausea and vomiting. Fever and chills. And that's if you have an infection from the kidney stone. So pain caused by a kidney stone may change. For instance, if it shifts to a different location or increases in intensity as the stone moves through your urinary tract. So basically, when to see a doctor, when you can't take the pain anymore, pretty much. If you can't get comfortable, if you have nausea and vomiting, fever and chills, blood in your urine that you could actually see, or if it's difficulty to urinate. Some of the things that I've used that help, I put an ice pack, one of those big gel ice packs that we get from the VA. They can be used for anything. But what I would do is I would lay down and put the ice pack right on my kidneys. And it would numb it for a while. And it would work for quite a while. Another thing is also use a heating pad. You can alternate the heating pad to the ice pack. So, because it does work. So kidney stones often have no definite single cause, although several factors may increase your risk. Kidney stones form when your urine contains more crystal-forming substances such as calcium, oxalate, and uric acid. in your urine can dilute. So at the same time, your urine may lack substances that prevent the crystals from sticking together, creating an that's the ideal environment to get kidney stones. So there's different types of kidney stones. And once they know what kind that you have, it also give you a clue as how to reduce the risk of getting more stones. Now, I don't know about you guys. I'm not into straining my pee, but that's what they have you do. You pee in those, they call it a hat. You put in the toilet, you pee in it, and then you have a strainer that they give you, and you just pour it in there, and if the stone's in there, then you know you passed it. But calcium stones, most kidney stones are calcium stones, usually in the form of calcium oxalate. Oxalate is a substance made daily by your liver or absorbed from your diet. Certain fruits and vegetables, as well as nuts and chocolate, have high oxalate content. dietary factors, high doses of vitamin D, intestinal bypass surgery, and several metabolic disorders can increase the concentration of calcium or oxalate in your urine. Calcium stones can also occur in the form of calcium phosphates. And that type of stone is more common in metabolic conditions such as renal tubular acidosis. And it may also be associated with certain medications, Topamax, Trokendi XR, Quidexi XR. Those are migraine medications and seizure medications. Struvite stones are formed in response to a urinary tract infection. So these stones can grow quickly and become quite large, and sometimes with very few symptoms or little warning. Uric acid stones can form in people who lose too much fluid because of chronic diarrhea and malabsorption. Well, ain't that wonderful? Those who eat high-protein diet and those with who are diabetics or have a metabolic syndrome, certain genetic factors also may increase your risk of uric acid stones. And cysteine stones, these are formed in people with a hereditary disorder called cystinuria. And it causes the kidneys to excrete too much of a specific amino acid. You guys still with me? Talk quiet.
I'm here. I'm listening.
Okay. So some risk factors, family or personal history. If someone in your family has had kidney stones, you're more likely to develop them. Who knows? I don't see how. But if you've already had more than one kidney stone, you're at risk of developing another. Like I said, I've had four. I had three 2 years ago, passed them, and now I got another one. Dehydration, not enough water each day can run your risk of kidney stones. So people who live in warm, dry climates than those who sweat a lot may be at a higher risk than others. Certain types of diets, high-protein diets, sodium and sugar may increase your risk of some types of kidney stones. This is especially true with a high-sodium diet, which is why you shouldn't have a high-sodium diet, because it's not good for your blood pressure either. Too much salt in your diet increases the amount of calcium in your kidneys and must filter and significantly increase your risk of kidney stones. Not to mention, it gives you high blood pressure and it causes other issues for your heart. I don't know why anybody on this God's green earth would be on a high-sodium diet. Unless perhaps you're out in the desert and you need to keep some of your water in your body to retain some of the fluid. But other than that, I don't see why anybody would be on a high-sodium diet. Obesity. If your BMI is too high, a large waist size, weight gain, have been linked to increased kidney stones. Skinny doesn't mean you can't get stones. digestive issues or digestive diseases and surgery, gastric bypass, IBD, chronic diarrhea can cause changes in the digestive process that affect your absorption of calcium and water. And that increases the amounts of stone-forming substances in your urine. Not only IBD, but like celiac, we have chronic diarrhea, IBS, Crohn's, all of those, you're at a higher risk of kidney stones because you have chronic diarrhea. So in order to supplement from what you're losing, you've got to take in enough fluid to make up for what you're losing. So other medical conditions such as renal, tubular acidosis, cystinuria, and hyperparathyroidism, and repeated injury to urinary tract infections can also increase your risk of kidney stones. Certain supplements and medications, such as vitamin C, dietary supplements, laxatives, like milk of magnesia, and there's others. But if you have to use them in excess is what they're talking about. Calcium-based antacids, certain medications used to treat migraines or depression increase your risk of kidney stones. So, yeah, that's it. Anyone have any questions about kidney stones besides the fact they suck?
I've never had kidney stones, thank goodness.
You're lucky. Well, you don't know. Well, because here's the thing. 1 millimeter is tiny. Itty-bitty. Put it this way. A 6 millimeter, what I have right now, is a quarter of an inch. So if you think about it, your kidney, your tubes are not even a quarter of an inch wide.
Yeah, I've had to take care of people with catheters, so yeah.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, God. And I hate putting them in. I hate it. I hate it for the – well, for guys, it's easy. You can't miss the hole. I'm sorry, it's there. You can't miss it. The only thing that's bad on men is if they have an enlarged prostate because it's going to make it almost impossible to put a catheter in. And that's when you have to use the Coudet ones, and that's where the tip of it is actually curved. And it's made like that just because of that. So end-stage kidney disease. This is some of the symptoms of end-stage kidney disease. Nausea, vomiting, loss of appetite, fatigue and weakness, sleep problems, changes in the amount of your urine, decreased mental sharpness, muscle twitches and cramps, swelling of the feet and ankles, persistent itching, chest pain, shortness of breath, and high blood pressure. Now, a lot of the symptoms go to everything else there is in the world of issues. But a person who's in kidney disease will know that they have it. So you'll know, you'll be well educated on all of this. And the reason for the persistent itching is all of the toxins that can't get out of your body. And that's the pruritus. That's why you do that. Your body can't excrete all the toxins, and that's why you itch. So what causes kidney disease? Some people can actually be born with it. So it occurs when a disease impairs the kidney function, causing damage to the kidney, and the conditions which can lead to kidney disease. So your kidneys are not off the hook by all means. And you can live with one kidney. So but type 1 and 2 diabetics, high blood pressure, glomerulonephritis, intestinal nephritis, prolonged obstruction of the urinary tract, vesicoureteral reflux, and that's when it backs back up. That's what the reflux means, the urine backs up. Recurrent kidney infections, polycystic kidney disease, or they call it PKD. Men are at a higher risk of kidney disease, older adults. and if you get kidney disease after you get a kidney transplant. But when you get an organ transplant, they put you on the all the rejection medications and things like that. And I don't know what medications they are, but I know they put you on a bunch of antivirals or retrovirals and all kinds of stuff to keep your body from rejecting the new organ. So though prevention, so there's no real definitive preventive measures. So certain activities can help slow down the progression, maintain a healthy weight, exercise, control your blood pressure, get your cholesterol levels checked, keep your blood sugar in control, don't smoke, and have a balanced diet, whatever that means. Because these days, I don't even know anymore. So complications for kidney disease is, like I said, fluid retention. And that could be anywhere in your body. You can also get pulmonary edema from it. If you get a sudden rise in potassium levels, which is called hyperkalemia, which is why they always check a lot, all heart patients, they check their calcium, their potassium, and their sodium levels, because those are all in your cardiac enzymes, and you have to keep those in track, or that can lead to a heart attack. Heart and blood vessel disease, anemia, decreased sex drive, erectile dysfunction, damage to the central nervous system, which can lead to seizures, a decreased immune response, pericarditis, and even pregnancy complications. Let's see. I'm trying to. All right.
Why
let me see. I know. Let's see. Oblada. Jeez. I'll try something different. So the one for overactive bladder, I don't know if you've seen that stupid commercial. Mirabetrix. There's another one. It's a blue pill. And it helps. It really does work for overactive bladder. One in three people can have an overactive bladder, believe it or not. And also, the older you get, your bladder doesn't work as well. So, the other thing that I did notice for women, if you like a lot of heavy lifting, depending on your job, a strenuous job, having bigger children, and we're talking almost 9 pounds and above. I had an 8, 12, 9, 5, and a 4. but that also can put, can cause your bladder muscles to be weaker. So you can also have overactive bladder and all that. Like, we call it the mom, a lot of moms know this, but you have to do the potty dance and you sneeze and you pee. You cough, you pee, you bend over, you pee. A lot of that happens. You can also get a prolapsed bladder, which means for women, not men. Men could have a prolapsed bladder too, thinking about it. But for women, it falls underneath the uterus, if you still have one, and it can actually fall out of your body if you don't have a cervix. So apparently that's no fun. Let me see. I'm just trying to look for some more stuff. Is there any other health problem you want to go over? I think I've covered everything.
I kind of remember my ma having to have a bladder lift.
Yes,
and
it's
I don't
called
remember.
A bladder tack. It's a bladder tack. They got tack your bladder or your uterus too. My mom had to have both. God forbid if she hears this phone call. It's like a sling. and they put it underneath your bladder to hold it up, and they just attach it to your abdomen, and it keeps you from having. That's for people who have a chronic with their bladder, the prolapsed bladder, and the same thing with a prolapsed uterus, same thing, because it's just sitting there. But yeah. So the kidneys, I'm trying to think of, yeah, we know. Like I said, age also changes. As you get older, everything slows down tremendously. Let's see. So the number of filtering units or nephrons decrease. Nephrons filter waste material from the blood. Blood vessels supplying the kidneys can become hardened, and that causes the kidneys to filter blood a lot slower. Because if you think about it, your kidneys are just sitting there, right? And they got the two tubes out the side that go down to the bladder. Well, you also have your artery that goes to both kidneys. And that gets oxygenated blood and all that stuff, and it filters through why you need to, your kidneys filter. So your bladder wall will change. The elastic tissue becomes stiffer, and the bladder becomes less stretchy. And so the bladder can't hold as much urine as before. And so your bladder muscles will weaken. And your urethra can become partially or totally blocked. And in women, that's because of weakened muscles that cause the bladder or vagina to fall out of position, which is prolapse. So for men, oh, actually, it's not prolapse. Your prostate will swell and cause those problems. Now, as far as prostate, guys, if you don't get your prostate checked and you end up with prostate cancer, and they remove that prostate gland, you have sex no more. Because believe it or not, that's what your prostate gland controls your erection or partially. So that's why they came up with the saline bags that they've actually put implants. The guy can pump it up, rods, and it's permanent. So important, guys, get your prostate checked. I know it's going to... It's invasive. The doctor has to stick a finger up your rear end, but it prevents a lot of problems in the end.
Bobby would like it.
Yeah, well, look, women don't have prostates, but I've had my fair share of and that's because of rectal bleeding. So, guys, I feel for you. I've had it done, like, once or twice. It's no fun. So age increases the risk of kidney and bladder problems, such as urinary incontinence. That also goes for also bowel incontinence, which is why a lot of, actually it's almost every single case of Alzheimer's, they lose control of their bowel and bladder. That part of their brain no longer functions, and that's why they have no idea. Also, if you damage part of your brain or the nerves in your spinal column, you can cause bowel and urine problems as well. You can also have a lot more UTIs and chronic kidney disease. The thing about chronic UTIs, especially in the elderly, if you have an elderly patient or an elderly family member and they're fine, and then all of a sudden one day out of the blue, they're like Sybil, nutting up, and he or she is just like they're acting out bad, very confused and things like that, how can you get checked for a UTI? Because believe it or not, a lot of UTIs can cause confusion and mental problems. And a lot of family members thought it was dementia. No, it was a UTI. And that's what it was. So as you grow older, you're going to have other changes, including your bones, muscles, joints, your reproductive systems, your organs, your tissues, and your cells. Okay, let's keep reading. No, I don't want to read that. It's just references. Oh, let's see what else, what else, what else for the bladder. Oh, the kidneys. Oh, it's just me. Oh, crap. Oh, I know. Let me look at my medical book. I know I could have had all this done, but you know what? You know me. I wait till the last minute. Well, crap. There isn't any. Hold on a second. You guys are too quiet. You guys can talk, you know.
I'm still listening.
Well, you can still talk. No, I'm just looking up, let's see, autoimmune, aging, yada, 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 bacterial, bleeding, bone, brain. You know, there is also kidney cancer, bladder cancer. The thing with, like, with your bladder cancer and things like that, if you have permanent damage done to your kidneys or your bladder, people have a urostomy. I've never seen a urostomy get reversed. I know a colostomy can get reversed because you have all those intestines. And a lot of times people with certain issues, intestinal problems, they do the urostomy for the, like, if it's the last part of your colon to heal, then
yeah,
they can reverse it.
I've taken care of people who have had a colostomy. The one person, it was a temporary one because they had had to have a surgical procedure and it required that their intestines have a rest. I don't remember the specifics. But, yeah, those – and you have to be really careful with colostomy bags because depending on where they are in the intestinal tract, it depends, you know, like that liquid, you know, that when you poo, you know, it goes through the different stages. And it has that acid stuff in it, and you have to be careful because it can eat at your skin.
Yeah, that's why with colostomy care and urostomy care, they have to have, like, where the colon comes out, that little mushroom-looking part, it needs to have the wax ring around it completely because fecal matter or urine can get in there, and that's when it eats at the skin. And trust me,
and
it can lead to a lot worse problems than what you already have.
Right. You have to make sure that you keep it clean, that you change it as required. Yeah, like I said, I was a home health aide for 20 years, and that's one thing that I learned a lot about with that. I know somebody that didn't take care of it properly, and the results were awful. It took them a long time to recover.
Oh, yeah, we had to call CPS on a guy because he refused to cooperate, and he didn't want to leave his house. He had no running water, no bathtub. He had a bathtub, but it was no running water, and it was disgusting, and he would not take care of it, and it's like, it is what it is. So I did find some other urinary issues. Peyronie's disease is characterized by a fibrous scar tissue that forms beneath the surface of the penis that can alter its appearance and function. Have you guys seen the commercials? They're talking, they have like a squash or a cucumber, whatever, and it's crooked. And they're talking about Peyronie's. It's Peyronie's. And it can be mild or acute, and it can be problematic or otherwise for otherwise healthy men to have normal erections by creating a painful curvature. So instead of it being straight, it could curve up, and it, I guess it's painful. I would not know. And I'm not asking Bob because I really don't want to know. So if a guy, if a man is given this diagnosis, they should speak with their doctor to determine what options may be available. Although penises, like fingerprints, are all different and can have their own natural curve. Everybody knows this. So if you have pain when it's erect, during sex, during urination, any of that, let your doctor know. And there's different stages. It's acute and chronic. So the acute phase lasts between 6 and 12 months. During this period, the scar forms under the skin and causes a curvature or other than that, other than its natural shape. You can feel pain even when it's soft. So, you know. So the chronic phase is the scar has stopped growing in this phase. So the curvature, and it doesn't get worse. But the pain is will usually be gone by this time. But sometimes it can continue, especially with erections, and that could go into erectile dysfunction. So these are the risk factors. Vigorous sexual or non-sexual activities. So for you guys that like it rough, that's how you break your penis, right there. Certain connective tissue and autoimmune disorders, a family history of it, and guys between 40 and 70 years old. I'm waiting for the last thing to start. Sorry. I know when things go into male and female reproductive stuff, I know it can be kind of, you know, I don't want to say embarrassing, but a little bit. So some of the causes of it are an injury to it, such as bending it enough to rupture the membrane that covers the blood vessel, a family history, which could mean it could be genetic. Inherited collagen abnormality in the genes that regulate the growth of the fibrous connective tissue proteins. If you get an infection, an autoimmune response, which causes the plaque to form. Certain drugs, I did not know this, beta blockers, interferon, and anti-seizure medication. Also, this can happen to little boys. You know, when they're just the right height and they drop the toilet seat lid on it, that can damage it as well. So I've known a dog. My dog's stupid. So some of the symptoms is plaque on top of the shaft, which causes it to bend upward. And that's the most common condition. On the side, underneath, so it could be anywhere, and trouble with sexual penetration. So there is a physical exam. You go to your doctor and they'll do a physical exam and look at it. Your doctor could order an ultrasound. Let's see. And a lot of times they go with the most conservative, less invasive approach to it first, like oral medications, pentofoxaline, vitamin E, let's see, and potassium, yeah, Petoba. I'm not going to pronounce the whole word, sorry. And then there's verapamil, interferon alpha 2B, and then, of course, there's surgery. If it's to the point where you have to have surgery. Okay. So urethritis is a disease characterized by the swelling or inflammation of the urethra, male or female. The tube through which the urine travels from the bladder to the outside of the body. People with this condition, actually it's a UTI, but the bacteria that causes it is E. coli and gonococcus, which also causes gonorrhea. Chlamydia, HSV 1 and 2, and also, actually that's not a UTI, my bad. Those can cause that. The microorganisms that cause urethritis are often transmitted from one individual to the other during sex. However, the most common cause is a lack of hygiene near the genitals, which causes parasites to enter the urethra, and that's when you get all those issues. But this can also cause pelvic inflammatory disease. So, and those can lead to epididymitis in men. They can also lead to sterility. So that's why, like I said, anything going on with your body, let your doctor know. If you're a teen or a child and you're too embarrassed to talk to your parents, talk to the school nurse. There's somebody that you could talk to. I know some of this stuff is a little, you know, embarrassing for some kids to talk about. So the different identified organisms are known to be transmitted by sexual intercourse. You run the risk of transmitting these organisms. So chlamydia is unique because they obligate intracellular organisms similar to mycoplasma. And because of that, they can be shielded from our immune system. So, and the thing about chlamydia is you may not even know you have it. So, and a lot of times that's how it gets spread because you have no idea. So because this condition is infectious in etiology, it's commonly found as part of other infectious syndromes, such as, and for all the guys, the epididymitis, myitis, orchiditis, prostatitis, or urinary tract infections. So, and a lot of times with guys, it's hard to tell. Women, it's not as hard to tell. My dog's acting retarded. Sorry. So doctors have historically classified sexually transmitted diseases into two categories, gonococcal urethritis caused by gonorrhea bacteria and non-gonococcal urethritis caused by a bacteria other than gonorrhea. So gonococcal urethritis is often called, oh, it's called the clap. Oh, I did not know that. which is caused by Neisseria gonorrhea bacteria. Gonorrhea infections are passed from person to person. They're easy to treat with some strong antibiotics. So non-gonococcal urethritis is caused by all sexually transmitted bacteria other than and the Neisseria gonorrhea. The most frequent cause is chlamydia trachomatis bacteria, which causes sexually transmitted infections. Yeah, and it gets, you know, where when you can pass it back and forth. So, and not all the urethritis is caused by an infection or a trauma. Reactive arthritis, which they used to call it Reiter syndrome, it's an inflammatory disorder that the person usually has painful swollen joint, pink eye, or sterile urethritis. So,
Misogus.
Huh?
Nothing.
Okay.
I was trying to say something.
Oh. So urethritis risk factors is more common in women. Being sexually active, use of spermicide. I didn't know that caused that problem. Recent change in sexual partners, unprotected sex, history of other STDs, having catheters or tubes placed in your bladder. But here's the thing about the your catheters. They have to get changed out. Some people have to be on them permanently. And so every 30 days, your catheter will get changed. A lot of home health nurses will do that. Sometimes family members do it. But in the hospital, I can't remember if it was 7 days or how often they changed them in the hospital. And so some medications that lower your resistance to bacterial infections. We already went over all this, blah, blah, blah. So some of the symptoms is frequent or urgent need to urinate, difficulty starting urination, itching, pain, or discomfort when not urinating, pain during sex, any type of discharge, man or woman, abdominal and pelvic pain, fever, and chills. And so some of the complications are chronic pelvic pain, epididymitis, myitis, infertility, pelvic inflammatory disease, perinatal transmission of infection to a newborn. So if the mom, when she gives birth, she could give it to the baby. Prostatitis, Reiter syndrome, spread of infection like endocarditis, meningitis, sepsis, and things like that. And there's a whole battery of tests, urine tests, blood tests, cystoscopy, ultrasound, you name it, they have a test for it. So, and a lot of the antibiotics is doxycycline, vibromycin, Rocephin, Zithromax, all of those can treat a lot of those issues. So, all right. Gee, I guess he's got all these. So a urethral stricture is scar tissue within the urethra, which is the small tube that goes from your bladder to outside. Normally the flow of urine is free and easy. However, when scar tissue forms, it can cause a blockage that results in a slow urine flow or difficulty or inability. And the blockage can occur anywhere from the bladder to the opening in the vagina or the man's penis, either way. They're very rare in women, but they're highly symptomatic. And those are there's good treatment options for it. So the common cause of urethral strictures like in boys, is from trauma, from a straddle injury. Strictures can also be caused by pelvic fractures from a major trauma. Hypospadias repair, this is on boys. I've taken care of a few little newborns like this. The whole of the penis is underneath, not on the end. So the doctor has to close up the end and close up the bottom surgically and then open up the end. But that's the most common surgery to cause urethral stricture disease. But prior to instrumentation can also cause stricture disease. Strictures can be prevented in people who intermittently catheterize by using liberal amounts of lubrication. So for people that have to constantly do a catheter, I've taken care of quadriplegics where they're cast every day, a couple times a day. And so it all depends on how much lube that you use on it. Like I said, the stricture of the urethra in a girl is rare. It can also be caused from a prior surgery, from a pelvic fracture. So it's a relatively common disease in men, of 229 to 627 per 100,000 males, or to 0.6% of risk of the population. Typically, it's older men. So they like to repeat everything on this for some reason. So this is what I was referring to for guys, BPH, benign prostatic hyperplasia, is a condition which the prostate, it grows, and it surrounds the urethra. So it's the benign, it's not cancerous. So they also call it BPE as well. And so the prostate is located directly beneath the bladder. So as soon as your little urethra comes out your bladder, that's where your prostate's at. So, and like I said, it's your part of your sex organ for men. So if you have that, your prostate removed, well, you have no sex life. So multiple fibroadenomatous nodules developed in the region of the prostate. I'm trying to make this as simple as possible with all these big-ass words. Sorry, guys. So basically, you got nodules that grow, and they can and they get bigger, and that's what causes the inflammation of the prostate gland. So as the lumen of the urethra narrows and lengthens, the urine outflow is obstructed, and that's why men have a hard time peeing, or they pee a lot because they just can't get it all out. So increased pressure associated with micronutrition and bladder distension can progress to hypertrophy of the bladder. So it won't be as stretchy. So like I said, same thing with women. As with men, empty your bladder as often as possible. So if you don't empty your bladder, and that can cause the same problems for men as well. And you run the risk of infection. They don't know what causes BPH, except for maybe age and the change in the cells in the testicles. They think that might have a role to do with it, but so if you have no testicles, you're not going to get BPH. So if you have a trauma to one of your testicles and it has to be removed, if you have both of them removed, you will not get BPH because, like I said, they're linking your any issues with your testicles to your prostate. So, but after your testicles are removed, if the testicles are removed, if the guy develops BPH, the prostate begins to shrink in size. So, the older you get, you run the risk of it. BPH is so common that it has been said all men will have an enlarged prostate if they live long enough. Wow, that's not saying much for you guys. So if you're like hitting 70 and 80, you might end up with BPH. If you're 80, 90, you probably won't have one left anyway. A small amount of prostate enlargement is present in any man over 40. More than 90% of men over 80 have it. So some of the risk factors. For the prostate gland enlargement, rarely causes signs and symptoms in men younger than 40. About a third of men experience moderate to severe symptoms by 60, and about half do by 80. Family history, having a blood relative, like a brother and a father, that has prostate problems, it's one of those hereditary things, and you probably will too. Diabetics and heart disease. Studies show that diabetics, as well as heart disease, the use of beta blockers might increase your risk of BPH. Obesity might increase your risk of it. We already went over the symptoms and all that cool stuff. So some of the complications, UTI, urinary retention. Acute urinary retention is a sudden inability to pass urine, period. You get severe lower abdominal pain and swelling of the bladder that you can feel with your hands. Yes, you can actually feel your bladder. And that's why people have the intermittent catheterization done, because they can't go to the bathroom. So they'll just catheter themselves. So they do a digital rectal exam to check your prostate and all that cool stuff. And it takes 10 to 15 seconds, and that's it. So they could do a urinalysis and all that stuff. They could do a bladder scan, cystoscopy. They could do an MRI, a PSA blood test. So there's a lot of different ways to check for issues. So pyuria is the last one. It's a condition which excess white blood cells are present in the urine. And pyuria causes a cloudy urine, and it's usually a UTI. I don't know if you guys have ever noticed when you go to the bathroom, the lighter the color, the more hydrated you are. And then once it gets to that amber, dark yellow-looking color, then you're worried more about dehydration and stuff. But then it can change. You can even have light-colored urine, but cloudy. And so that's when they notice that you possibly have a UTI. It can also indicate sepsis, and that's a life-threatening bacterial infection or pneumonia in older adults. People may experience sterile pyuria, in which the blood cells are present in the urine, but there's no bacteria. So that's what it is. That's the cloudiness, is your white blood cells. Sterile pyuria is often caused by STDs or medication. So usually you get it from a UTI. At any age, it's more prevalent in females than males. Asymptomatic infection is about 3.5%. You are so fortunate if you have no symptoms from a UTI. I thought when I've gone into the hospital, they came out and said, "Oh, you got a UTI." You know, I don't have any issues, but I was having pain, and it was causing a pain for something else, when in reality it was the UTI. So you may not always have the burning, urination, or pain. And a lot of times, you know, I try not to take too many antibiotics, because you could run the risk of superbugs. And a lot of times a UTI, depending how bad it is, you can clear it up by cranberry juice. If you can't have cranberry juice, drink lots and lots and lots and lots of water. And go to, you get those azo tablets. There's two of them, the same thing as peridium. And that helps. That usually you can flush it out yourself. The same thing with a lot of common colds. It's the same thing. You try not to go with antibiotics, because there's no cure for a virus, you know. So, oh, damn it. So, like I said, some causes of pyuria is bacteria in the urine tract. And so, like I said, STDs, viral infections, interstitial cystitis, painful bladder syndrome, pelvic infections, intra-abdominal infection, pneumonia, sepsis, radiation cystitis, foreign bodies in the urinary tract. So guys, don't be sticking stuff up in your urinary tract and breaking it off. Just kidding. when they say foreign bodies, all I can think of is when you have to have, for guys, they stick a Q-tip up and they twirl it around. So that's all I can think of, like a splinter from the wood or the cotton from the Q-tip. Urinary fistulas, intrinsic renal disease, renal transplant rejection, polycystic kidney disease, and fungal infections. So if you're on a long-term antibiotics, there are some illnesses that you have to have long-term use of antibiotics. Antibiotics with penicillin, aspirin, diuretics, nitrofurantoin, Advil, Motrin, ibuprofen, and your proton pump inhibitors like your Nexium and things like that. So some of the risk factors of getting pyuria is infection, kidney disease, papillary necrosis, diabetic, TB, renal stones, Kawasaki disease, prostate cancer, and menopause.
Pyuria, is that the one? Kim, is that the one with the blue urine?
No, pyuria is when your white blood cells.
Oh,
I know
okay.
what you're talking about. No, I know what you're talking about. Shit.
King George had it, or one of them.
I saw it on, no, actually, I saw it on Chicago Med or one of those medical shows. Damn it. Hold on a second.
One of the kings had it, and it also affected his mental state. I mean, they cured it, or it cured itself or whatever, but...
Hold on. Let me think of that. Hold on a second. What causes blue urine? Oh, come on. My internet's being a pain. Oh, it was King George. Okay. So, come on. So the causes of blue and green urine, oh, well, crap. That's just a question and answer. I don't want that. But medication. What causes blue urine? Here it is. Urine not only expels the waste materials from your body, but it also tells about overall status of your health. Alteration of color or smell may indicate an alteration in metabolic activity due to certain medications, foods, or disease. For instance, blue urine may indicate a bacterial infection, and a deep amber or orange may be a sign of dehydration. But what causes the blue urine? So... different urine colors have different causes. In some cases, the color of urine gets blue, and there are various causes of blue-colored urine. So methylene blue, administration of methylene blue in certain indications, such as treatment of pediatric and adult patients with acquired methemoglobinemia, leads to blue urine. Putrefactive process. The formation of indigo through putrefactive process in the intestines. In a patient, it was found that he has blue-colored urine due to the formation of indigo because of the putrefactive activity of E. coli. And the putrefactive process is like decay and nasty. Hold on, I can't see. Sorry. So some medications that can cause blue urine is amitriptyline, cimetidine, and indomethacin. Bacterial infection, Pseudomonas aeruginosa, can cause blue or green-colored urine. Dyes that are used to diagnose the disease of a kidney, stuff like for CAT scans, so they could see the radioactive dyes and stuff. Well, they use something for the same thing for the bladder and the kidneys, and then make the urine blue. Food colors. Eating color foods that is rich in artificial colors may also cause blue urine. Not to mention, if you eat too many blue cupcakes, the dye, yeah, and green, and also red will make your urine change color, and your bowel movements too. We had blue cupcakes. I was shitting green because there's green and blue inside the blue dye that's in the cupcake. Yeah, it was chloroform green, bright, bright green. So anytime something is off, look it up. And usually there's an indication why. So other causes that cause blue urine are pyocyanine pigment, bilirubin, and Hartnup disease, and I have never heard of any of those. Sorry. So the frequency of urination depends on several factors. How much you drink a day. And don't forget, caffeine is a natural diuretic, and it will make you pee a lot too. So a person can urinate 6 to 7 times in a 24-hour period. Some people can urinate as much as 10 times a day. It all depends on everything. So the color of urine depends on, like I said earlier, the hydration. If the body is well hydrated, the urine can be light yellow to clear. In a dehydrated state, the urine gets concentrated and the color becomes amber, like the color of straw. It's not darker than that. The color of urine in a healthy person is due to unichrome present in the urine. Apart from the light yellow to amber, the color of urine also defines the status of the body. The color of the urine may change due to food or medications. Like I said, pyridium will dye your urine bright orange or red. And the more you urinate, the lighter it gets. And then it turns to some freaking yellow color. Looks like you're radioactive. So what happens if you hold your urine too long? Like I said, it'll run the risk of your bladder being stretchy. It will lose its elasticity. The risk of UTI. And if you have an infection, you could run the risk of that getting into your blood. Excuse me. Oh, also, when you're pregnant, you pee a lot, too, because the kid sits on your bladder. Because your bladder sits just right behind your uterus. There's an increase in frequency of urination during cold temperatures, and the phenomenon is called cold-induced diuresis. In the cold temperature, the blood vessels constrict to increase the blood supply to various organs, including the skin. And so this increases the blood pressure, and to compensate for that, for the pressure to rise, the kidney excretes an increased amount of fluid. Because of the increased amount of fluid reaching the kidneys must work and resulting in more urine. Learn something new every day. So blood and urine. Nobody wants to see blood in the urine. However, there may be reasons to lead to the red-colored urine. Food items such as beetroot may dye the urine red. So blood in the urine is normally for a UTI, kidney stone, prostate problem, and things like that. So a small amount of blood may also leak in urine due to strenuous exercise. Also, if you cough too hard, you can cough up blood. That's not coming from your lung. That's coming from your throat. Chances are, I'm not saying it's not going to, but chances are it's because, you know, the smokers cough. If you're having an asthma attack, things like that, if you're sick with pneumonia or whatever, you can actually cough so hard you can cause small little tears and you can end up bleeding like that. So
Is the blue urine a sign of disease? No, not necessarily, unless it's that Hartnup syndrome and blue diaper syndrome. And those are the, and that's it for blue urine. But yes, King George had blue urine. But there was something else that, how about the blue urine? And it may, might have been just for TV. Who knows? Let me see. They said it could even look like blue glass cleaner. But it is the methylene blue, and it's a common dye in prescription drugs. That's what it is. Traumaterine is a mild diuretic, and that can cause blue urine. Rinsipin is an antibiotic, sometimes used to create staph infections, and can cause blue or green urine. Viagra, it's not the pill, it's the coating of it. So that's what can cause your discoloration. Can porphyria cause blue urine? Although porphyria is really a set of eight or more disorders and a various variety of symptoms, they all share the same common feature: accumulative porphyrins in the body. And it means purple, so it can change your urine color, but it's usually a red or purple. And you're talking about King George? He was well known for his insanity in his later years, but it's perhaps less well known for his blue urine. And it was probably not a rousing topic of conversation around the royal dinner table. How did they know it was blue? was someone peeking in the in the bathroom? Who knows? He left his urine pot in his chamber, and they found out that's how it was blue. He had porphyria. That's what he had, and that's why he had blue urine. So the dyes that we have today, they did not have back then. That's about it. Okay, that's it. You guys have anything else? Any other questions or whatever? Anything?
Only to wake Lorna up.
I'm not sleeping. I swallowed air.
You swallowed air, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. No.
It's going to be interesting because I'm going to be taking up boxing here shortly.
But that's it. That's all I got. We covered everything there is to cover. I believe so. With your damn it, something's in my throat. It's driving me crazy. So. Everybody knows that Biden's brilliant wisdom. He's going to start sending people door to door. And
I want to see that.
Well, you see, here's the thing, and this makes sense too. The people that don't answer the door, and the people that say no, So I've heard, and I don't know how true this is going to be or not, if they're going to try this. For the people that say no, they're not getting the vaccine, they're just going to leave after they harass you for a while, and then they're going to put you in a database. No, this is what they're saying. They're going to put you in a database, and those are going to be the houses that they attack first. Now, if you want to be that stupid, you go right ahead. Because there's only 3 million active duty or actual service members. Only 1 million is active duty. Don't forget you got them all over Hawaii, that you got them in Japan, Germany. Where else? We got tons of military bases in other countries. So you're not going to drag them over here. So it's kind of pointless for them to even try something like that. And in order for them to, and someone said they're going to gas Americans with what? Mustard gas? Something that we don't even have? Well, I don't know. I can't say that. If they try to gas the people for not getting vaccinated, that will start an all-out civil war. And maybe that's what he wants. I don't know. In the end, I have no idea if that's how stupid he wants to be. I don't know.
That would be my guess, is he wants to see how many of us are actually going to stand up for ourselves.
True. And that's why they got the new Lambda variant. Oh, the Delta variant didn't scare enough people. Now they got the Lambda, like in Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah.
I saw that today. that's what it is, scaring enough people. No, we've been – here's the thing. People are waking up. We don't care. It's a damn virus. It's not TB. It's not HIV. It's not something that can't be cured. It's a freaking virus. Everything that the human body gets, you run the risk of dying from. Hell, you could get food poisoning and die. Do you see people going around like a bunch of chickens with a head cut off? No, of course you don't. And like I say, my mom hates when I say this. Look, if I get it and I die, it was my time to go. I don't want any boo-hooing over. No, bullshit. I beat it once, and I'll beat it again if I get it. I'm not going to cry about it. I know where I'm going, so I really don't care. And someone wants to argue me that there's 600 deaths. No, there's not. No. There's less than, they said, what was it, 6% of the actual people that got COVID, that died from COVID, or actually got it, were actually COVID. 6% of 600,000. That's how many people died from COVID. So this just goes to show you who's got a brain and who doesn't, in all honesty. And there's a lot of Republicans that are sheep to the slaughter because they bought into it.
Yep.
Because there are Republicans who voted for Biden because they said Donald Trump had mean tweets. I'll take a mean tweet right now. Overpaying $3 a damn gallon for gas. And people say the president doesn't control the gas pipe prices. Sure he does. His first 4 hours in office, he shut down the pipeline. And gas went up over a dollar in less than, in what, 2 months, 3 months? So the president has a lot of control over what happens in this country. But damn sinuses. Sorry, guys. My nose is driving me nuts. But that's all I got. And plus all the shit for tomorrow. So.
Yeah, like
oh,
I said,
did
I
you guys
don't...
hear? Huh?
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You don't what? You don't think they're going to
do
it?
No,
go
ahead.
No, I was going to say.
Go ahead.
You're missing that. Look,
if you see a post or see a video or see anything about The Walking Dead, they're not talking about zombies, guys. I figured it out. I saw a video that explained it, and I'm like, holy shit. I heard you. That's what it is. The Walking Dead they're referring to are those that were suicided because they knew too much.
Right.
Yeah. JFK Jr., Kathy, others, Epstein. Oh, he could be suicided later for real. But that's what they're referring to, the Walking Dead. They're supposed to be dead, but they're really walking around. And they said there's the only way for them to come back is for them to get rid of the corruption and the vile politicians. That's the only way. If you watch Dark Legacy 1 and 2, it explains a lot of shit about the Kennedys and about what happened. Yeah. So, like Kay Jr., he was an experienced pilot. Why would he crash land his plane on a sunny day? No issues.
Right.
And he went into a graveyard spin.
Yep.
And they didn't find the bodies. And they found no bodies, by the way. So that means they jumped, or they did take off in the plane. Don't get me wrong. But there were some things that were said, and I think what happened was they jumped. They parachuted out of that plane, the three of them, him, his wife, and her sister. And that's why no bodies were found. They found the fuselage in one place and the rest of the plane in another place. So we shall see. I really do. I really hope that JFK Jr. is alive, because I want to see that bombshell drop on the Clintons and the Bushes and all of it. I really do. Heads will melt and explode.
Yep.
But we got 7 minutes, so if you guys don't have anything else, or if you're going to keep quiet, Lorna, Maria. you could go ahead and end with 5 minutes left, whatever.
All right.
I will put Dumb and Dumber outside.
I appreciate you doing the show as usual, and I'm glad that you're feeling a little better.
Oh, yeah. I feel a lot better. I actually got sleep. Like I said, I got sleep, and, you know, it's on the DL right now with the pain, so I'm happy.
That's good. That's good. But, and Lorna, thank you for being with us again.
Yeah.
And Maria, she already signed off, so.
Shut up.
But I really appreciate all the info out there, and I'm sure our listeners do too. And I just want to say, have a great night. God bless America, our children, first responders, veterans, our troops, and God bless the Defender 7. Good night, everybody.
Good night. All right.